You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome and greet all of you people, no matter where you are on the internet, listening on the radio. We just greet you and welcome you to our program. And we've called this program for over 17 years, Raising the Standard. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour.
Amen.
That's our purpose with this program, is to teach some things that will stir and activate people and to grow up and mature in the things of the Lord. And we know without the Spirit of God, we can't do that, can we, Pastor Donna? We need the Holy Ghost really bad in our lives. So we greet you. We welcome you to the program. And so we're honored to be here with you. So we got a couple announcements to make before we start here, and then we'll do a little teaching here today with you, and we hope you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say.
Amen.
Tell them a little bit. We had a great time with Gary Brooks over last weekend.
Yes, we did. I'm sure everyone that was there had a wonderful time.
And sure did.
Just being in the presence of the Lord and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and Prophet Gary bringing the Word and the ministering to the people. It was awesome. But you know what? Every day is awesome with the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. So, but we're blessed to have Him come. I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. and Friday night services at 7 p.m. We have a Shabbat service on Friday night. And then Saturday, this Saturday, we will be having a soup dinner at 5:30, and then we will have prayer, intercession. We will be praying. So come on out later if you can. And enjoy the presence of the Lord and each other. Amen. What else do I want to mention? Oh, this radio broadcast is not only on the radio, but it's also on the internet. So
Amen.
You can listen to it. If you happen to be driving down the road and this is your first time to hear Raising the Standard, you can listen to it again. You can go to WCNO.com and you can go just go on Saturday and look for on the podcasts and look for 12 o'clock noon on Saturday, Pastor Gene Hilton. And you can listen to this again or some other programs that are on there that we have made and others as well, because this radio program is 24/7 and it's on the internet all the time, 24/7. Hallelujah. That's just marvelous, isn't it?
Amen.
I want to give our telephone number here in Stuart. If you'd like to call us and talk to Pastor Gene or myself, and or if you'd like to get directions on how to find the church, we're right here in Stuart, Florida, right on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. You can also Google us on your phone or device, computer, and just Google Spirit of Prophecy and Stuart, and it will direct you right to where we're at. We're in a plaza right next to Save a Lot Food Store.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So it's good to be here. It's good to be with you all. And I know that we just bless you and we just thank the Lord for you. And I know there's many people listening and that listen to us all the time, and maybe there's some new people listening.
It's never listened before. We welcome you too.
Also, welcome and be blessed in the Lord. Amen. So we just want to bless everyone. This is the Sabbath, you know, and so it's a time to rest and just.
Sabbath's not done till tonight, right?
Not over till.
Till it's sunset.
That's right. So we just want to bless you.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's what we're on here for. So I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. So we did have a marvelous time with Prophet Gary Brooks over the weekend, and he got home okay. He was kind of tired. It was 3 days of intense preaching and teaching, and he ministered to a lot of people. And he really didn't prophesy that much over that many people, but the ones he...
Well, there was quite a few
on 3 days, but the ones he spoke to, really, it was
powerful,
profound.
Word.
And I'm thinking about... one of the pastors in our church got a powerful word. I mean, it was just an incredible word. And to listen to it. And of course, we tell people to type it up. You know, we give them a copy of the word on a tape or CD. And we tell them to type it up. And as you read it over and put it in your heart, it just stirs you up. And says, this is what God's telling me. I'm willing to step
move into that,
in that place. I can't make it happen, but the Lord, I'm agreeing with you. If you want it to happen, it'll happen. And it happened to you, Pastor Don, years ago.
And things don't happen overnight either, you know?
Nope. And it was slowly she moved into that arena that God had called her to. And it's amazing what God did with all
praise
that in her
God.
Life. And so he's not a respecter of persons. He's willing to do it with everyone. So we should take those prophetic words and put them in our heart.
Amen.
But it's a shame that so much of the church today doesn't believe in personal prophecy, but it's so precious. You know, Paul talked about it over there in 1 Corinthians 14 and all, talking about that we should endeavor. He said to covet. And the Bible tells us not to covet anything. He said to covet or earnestly desire what? That you may prophesy. And we can all prophesy. Doesn't mean we're going to be prophets, but we can all prophesy, because it's to encourage, exhort, and comfort people. And so it's wonderful to be able to hear something from somebody else. Maybe they might have been on your heart about something, and then someone else is revealing it to you that God showed you.
Confirmation.
So it's incredible.
Because God speaks to people individually as
well. Sure does.
I also want to mention, too, that if somebody would like to have a copy of the calendar for this month, all they can do, just give us a call, and we'd be glad to send you out a copy of the calendar. And also, not this Saturday, but starting next Saturday, we'll be having a class on evangelism
and witnessing.
And witnessing. It's going to be an awesome teaching, and getting it out in the highways and byways and sharing the gospel.
So you won't have any fear.
That's what it's all about. So there'll be multiplication of more and more people coming into the kingdom.
Yeah.
So that's right. God doesn't want us to have fear. He says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Power.
But of power.
Love.
Power. And we're to love the lost, aren't we? And love.
That's right.
And then God's given us a sound mind, because it says when we open our mouth, he said he would fill it. So, and so prophecy goes right along with witnessing, you know. And so you don't want to be afraid to prophesy, because God gives you a word. You're not supposed to hold it back. Every word that God gives us is for us. It's to be shared. We're supposed to share the gospel.
Absolutely.
And we're supposed to share our testimony. Wow, the testimony. We overcome what? By the blood of the Lamb.
And the word of our testimony.
The word of our testimony.
And loving our lives unto death, right?
So we are to go out and to share and to bring in those lost, those fish, those lost fish, amen?
That's right.
And maybe Pastor Gene will teach you a little bit about fish. We've been talking a little bit about that this morning.
Yeah, fish.
A fish breakfast, amen?
Yeah.
Jesus prepared a fish breakfast.
He sure
did. That's if you understand what that teaching is about. That was right after his resurrection, and we will talk about that in a bit. But that's going to be 3 weeks of teaching and talking about witnessing, and perhaps we'll go out and do some witnessing. We're right next door to a food store.
And there'll be some videos with it, too, yeah.
Yes, some videos, and it's not anything to be afraid of. That's what I want to tell people. It's not anything to be afraid of, because we are to be, where our life is a witness. And so, you know, God wants us to share the gospel.
Absolutely.
And to share what he's done in your life. You know, you don't have to be a pastor or a preacher or, you know, have tons of scriptures memorized. No, you just want to go out and share the love of God and what God has done in your life. And that will draw people, because it's the Holy Spirit. People say, well, I didn't save anyone. Well, we don't save anyone.
That's right. The Lord does. We have to give him the words, don't we, honey?
Tell them what the gospel says. It's the Spirit.
That's right.
We have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who draws people. You can say a million things, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw them, then you know it's a seed. It's not that it hasn't there's nothing there. It's a seed. It might be sitting there dormant for a while. But you know what? Somebody else will speak some to somebody, and that seed will start to stir, you know, it'll start to wake up. You know, sometimes seeds sleep a long time.
That's right. Mine did.
That seed will start to wake up.
That's right.
Yeah, and it'll want to pop open. Yeah. And so, you know, when that happens, then, you know, I'd say that people get a born-again experience, and
absolutely,
then they start to grow in the Lord. So we don't want to be discouraged just because we go out and say, oh, we're going to go out and witness to 10 people and we're going to save 10 people. Well, you have a really not the greatest expectation when you do that. You just want to go out because you love God, you love Jesus, you love sharing the word, and you love sharing your testimony. And it brings glory to who? To the Father, the Son, and to the Godhead. It brings glory to them. And so it's not that you're going out, it's not a work, you know, it's a joy. So we can't look at it as a work. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to go out and share the gospel with so many people today. You know, you set a goal. Well, you know, we need to be led by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God.
That's
amen.
Right.
And so, you know, you may not, but you know, you never know, because a lot of people say, yes, I believe, but sometimes, you know, there's different kinds of soil. It depends on what kind of soil it lands in, the word lands
right.
in. And Jesus talked about that in the parable of the sower. So it depends on the soil. So we're not guaranteed because of anything, you know, we're not guaranteed of anything, but we are to share the gospel because God's word is not going to return void.
That's right.
And not to become discouraged, but that doesn't mean we don't go out and do it.
That's right.
We're supposed to do things.
Amen.
Amen.
Sure are.
So, you know, if you want to come out, that's going to be it's going to be on a Saturday at 4 o'clock, not this Saturday, but the following three Saturdays at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
And you can just give us a call at that number, area code 772-285-7007, and we'll add your name to the list. Amen.
No charge for it. Just
no
come
charge.
Out, just come out and enjoy it.
The Amen. Gospel's free.
That's right. Because everybody, you know, if you go up to talk to people, say, do you know that God really loves you?
Everybody needs to hear.
And listen to wait to what they have to say. You know,
mm-hmm.
And they tell them, you know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life.
Amen.
And some people know that and some people don't. Well, then you can go on from there and tell them that without Christ, you know, they have no hope in this life or the one to come. So it's important. But a lot of people take it lightly today, don't they, Pastor Donna? Even those in the church, I think what they have, I think they sometimes they take it kind of lightly, what we have. It's just incredible what God's given us. And it was a free gift. We didn't have to do one thing to get it, did we? Not one thing. All we had to do was what? To say, yes, Lord, I'm going to serve you and make a commitment to you from this point on in my life and start walking with him, and you'll never be the same again.
It's always been free. You just got to go out there and start casting the net.
That's right.
Start
bring
casting
them in.
The net.
Bring them in.
Which is like you were going to go fishing. Bring
That's
them
right.
in.
Bring them in.
Cast
That's
the
right.
net.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what type of fish you're going to get.
Nope.
Only God knows.
He knows. That's
and
right.
And God has no particular types that he likes better than others, you know.
Well, he's not a respecter
he's
of persons.
He's not a respecter of persons.
He wants everyone
he
to
wants
come.
Everyone
right.
to come
yeah.
from all nations. He
yeah.
says there's going to be some come out of all nations. Isn't that awesome, Pastor Gene? Believers from all nations. You know, God created a man, didn't he? He created
right.
man.
Mm-hmm.
And he created, we've been created for him mm-hmm. to bring glory to his name.
That's right.
To love God.
Amen.
God's looking for a relationship. He wants to have... He wants to have a relationship with us, and we need to have a relationship with him as well.
Amen.
Thank
so I hope you
Lord.
Can stay tuned for the rest of the program. I've been kind of stirred up here for the last week and a half, and before I got into ministry full-time, and a few years before that too, I was an electronic engineer, and I worked for Motorola for a lot of years. And when you work in engineering, you have to know a lot about mathematics, and I loved math when I took it, and it's a lot involved in the math, and when you get into engineering, you know, you get into the higher math and calculus and all that. And so I was always intrigued with it, and I loved the math, and without it you couldn't have done much in the way of electronics, because everything is revolving around the math. And one thing key also is a thing called triangles are so important. They're right angle triangles, and how they fit into a lot of things with engineering type work, not only electronics but in other things as well. And so I got stirred up with this, and I've been looking at this for a week. And
what about equilateral triangles?
Equilateral, that's right.
You know, when I was teaching school, we had these different shapes, all these different shapes, and children would take them and help to build their fine motor, because they would draw different shapes, and they'd use this a form to make a make a triangle.
Right.
And so one of the triangles was an equilateral triangle, and so even a little 3-year-old or 4-year-old can learn about an equilateral triangle. It's the same on all three sides. It doesn't matter which way you turn it. It's the same on every side. And, you know, God is equal.
That's right.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, the Godhead, it's not any, if you were going to compare it to a triangle, it's equal. Each one of those parts of the Godhead are equal.
That's
one's
right.
Not greater than the other, but they are all God. See, an equilateral triangle is an equilateral triangle, even though each piece has there's three sides.
That's right. And they're all equal.
And they have to be all equal.
Absolutely. Amen? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
And But when you put it together, mm-hmm. it's the Godhead.
Yep.
It's an equilateral triangle.
That's right.
You know, you can take the three sides and line them up together. They're all going to be the same length.
Sure.
And but when we're looking at something that's equal, like an equilateral triangle, each and every single side will be the same.
So I was talking to you this morning before we came on the program that if you go over to Genesis 1:1, we see something very interesting.
Right.
God is a Trinity. Okay, now the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but it's when I think about it, it's always about the Godhead. And so He put us in this world. Remember, God has three functions in the Godhead. We are a triune being also, spirit, soul, and body. And so he's got all these threes to show us something.
So they used the word Trinity, which it's...
It means three.
Means three.
That's why they use it. But it's not in the Bible, but we know what it means.
Tri means
right.
Three.
I took Donna over this morning to Genesis chapter 1:1, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you think about this. Here's another three. We live in this world, this universe that we're in, okay? We happen to be matter, and there's a lot of other things in the world that are matter also.
A lot.
And there was time also.
Time.
And there was also space. That's what we live in. So I looked at this. It says, in the beginning, which would mean what? In the beginning of time, this is when it was put in place, God created. Created what? He created matter. All the stars, all the plants, all the trees, everything. He created that. And then it says, and the heaven. The heaven is what? Is the space that we live in.
And we, you know, we're sitting here in a chair, you know, in a house or in a building, and, you know, it's on the ground, and you don't think about, we are really just floating around in space, you know.
Right.
If we could feel it, we could feel the turn of the earth.
That's right.
You know, we could feel it, that we're moving in space. Can you imagine that? But yet we're not falling off.
Nope.
We're not, you know, we're not at the bottom of the sphere, you know, we're not going to topple over or fall
right.
off. No, we're matter, and the earth is matter. And the trees, all these things, and even the smallest little animal, you know, they're not falling and floating off in the space. No.
Nope.
But this whole, we're held together by the power of God. That's right there. The power of God. We're held together.
By the Godhead.
And we move through this wonderful space that God has made.
That's right. Like here on earth, we, you know, we have air, but we can't see the air, can we? We don't see it, but it's here.
It's here,
that's
but
right.
We can feel it.
We can feel it. We can take something to fan ourselves, and we can feel the air, but we can't see it physically, can
mm-hmm.
we? But it's there. And so it's interesting how God established all this, but there's so much about the threes. And so I thought we might talk a little bit about this.
So that's awesome, right there in the very beginning, Genesis 1-1.
Yeah. Genesis 1-1. It shows you right there. There's
time, matter.
Time began, matter was there, and what? And in the heavens means there's space.
And substance.
That's right. It's all there. So God had a reason for it. And then, of course, He created us as a triune being. Also, it's incredible when you think about it.
We have.
Right.
We're in a body.
Spirit, soul, and body.
We're spirit. We're in a body. We have soul.
So there's so many threes in the Bible. So when I see a three, like 3 days or any kind of a three, I always look at it because it's so important. So, you know, you think about there's like triangles. So I thought about this morning about the Godhead. It's like a unilateral triangle that you just talked about. Equilateral, yeah. Equilateral triangle. And so it just shows you what we have there. It's incredible.
Mm.
And so, and they're all equal. They all fit together. And God's showing us something with it. So I thought we might go over to John chapter 21. This is an interesting thought, but I've been looking at about threes. And
you know, when something is equal, it's not going to topple over.
That's right.
It's got to be balanced. It's when something is equal, it's not going to topple over. Praise the Lord. There's so many things God can show us, isn't there? It's just
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to go over here to John chapter 21. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you just open our eyes to see and to have revelation on something maybe that's something that we've maybe not understood in the past, but just open our eyes to see some new things, because Jesus said that we would know things new and things old, and they're revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So in chapter 21 of the book of John, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Dunamis, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. So this was after the resurrection of Christ, and so he's going to go back to his fishing job. So he's going to go fishing, and they say unto him, we also go with thee. So now they're going to go with him. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So they're going out there fishing, and they ended up catching absolutely nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, morning reminds me of the sun coming up, the resurrection, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You know, many times Jesus kind of reveals himself in different ways.
Sure it is. How about the
so
two disciples?
So he was standing there, but yeah. They did not know it was him.
Remember the two disciples that was walking with him to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize him until they broke mm-hmm. bread, you know?
So Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? You know, God knows everything, doesn't he? He
already sure knew. Does.
They answered him, and they said, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship.
See, it's always the right side is where the blessing comes.
And I have the right side underlined in my Bible.
Yep.
Cast the net on the right side. In other words, you're doing it the wrong way. So you could say it that way too, but he said on the right side of the ship. Did he mean the actual right side, or did he mean you're not on the right side? On the correct side.
He said on the right side.
Right, but you know, who's facing right? That you know, they could be facing the ship one way and looking, depends on which way you're looking, which is right. So
probably
to me, I think it would be more like the correct side.
Right.
You're not on the correct side. You're not doing things the right way.
Yeah.
They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So all they did was just cast the net. Remember, they caught fish with a net. They didn't have a fishing pole
mm-hmm.
and catch them one at a time. They threw the net in, right? Cast the net in. There, in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter,
It is
the Lord.
Yes.
So John recognized it was the Lord.
Lord.
Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. It means he didn't have a shirt on.
Right. Probably,
And did cast himself into the sea. So he put on his shirt and jumped into the sea.
He wasn't too far from shore anyway. So,
I guess he was going to swim to Jesus.
Had to, yeah.
He wanted to get close to the
right.
Lord, and that was the best way he thought to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many times we need to be like that.
That's right.
Run into the Lord. Run into the river of God. Run into the sea of God. Verse 8 says, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. So they came in a little ship. So I'm thinking here, Pastor Gene, because when I read the first part about the ship, it didn't sound like the ship was so little. So maybe they got into a smaller ship. I don't know, or a smaller boat. You know how they tie boats up next to other boats?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they got into another what verse am I in now?
So the rest of the disciples came in a little ship.
And the other disciples came in a little ship.
Peter and John was in this one by themselves, I guess.
Not far from land,
uh-huh.
but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with
fishes. Huh?
Fishes. So they're dragging the fishes into the shore. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. So Jesus had already prepared breakfast.
He was there.
So I called this the morning breakfast.
Morning breakfast.
The fish breakfast.
Yeah.
He had already prepared breakfast. And doesn't God always prepare something for us? We don't have to wait on it. God many times has something already prepared. We just have to see him, listen to him, go to him. What did they do? They saw him, they heard him, and then they went to him and dragging their fishes. Okay.
Right.
Well, that was a big dragging a load. But here's Jesus. He's already got the fire and the coals and the fish
and
laid
the bread
there, and also bread. He is the bread. He was the bread of life standing right there waiting for them. And he's always just waiting for us to come. And I think about when we have Shabbat on Friday nights and how we have communion and we say the prayer. And, the prayer that we pray is a prayer that Jewish people have prayed forever. And just to know that he is our bread of life.
He sure is.
Well, verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So what was the purpose? You think about that, He's saying, now bring your fish, okay? So, Jesus caught many fish, didn't he, while he was walking on the earth? And these were just a few of them. Now he's saying, you're going to bring fish. Now, you're going to bring the fish that you catch. He says, I'm not the only fisher of men. You're going to go out and be fishers of men. Well, here they were fishers of fish, but it represents mankind. We're going to find that out. And so Simon Peter, verse 11, went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. Now, these were great fishes, it says, so they were big fishes.
Pretty good-sized fish, yeah.
And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. That shows how strong the net of the power of Jesus is. If you look at that, it didn't lose any. It wasn't broken. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. Now, it doesn't say he counted the fish.
Nope.
Mm-hmm, no, but God knew the fish. God knew how many fish, and God knows how many is going to come into the kingdom of heaven before the catching away, before Jesus returns, because there has to be a certain number, even the certain number of martyrs. There's going to have to be a certain number. God always has a certain number. He had 12 disciples. He had 12, in the Old Testament. We're talking about the 12 sons of
Jacob.
Mm-hmm. God always has a certain requirement of numbers, it seems to be.
12 is a number of government.
12 is a number of government. And that the Old Testament, that's basically like government. Then the 12 disciples, those were the 12 of the government of heaven. And of course, we know in heaven there's going to be 24 elders. That's 2 times 12.
Mm-hmm.
God is always God. Always, why does God work with numbers? Well, God's the greatest mathematician in ever.
Sure
forever.
Is.
He created.
He's incredible.
He created this place we live. He created the universe. And people are out there looking for life on other planets. And they're looking for minerals. They're looking for gold. They're looking for all these things. You can just watch it on TV all these science channels and everything else. Well, this is the place God decided to put man. And people are looking all over the place for other places where we could live if something happened to this earth. How could colonize some other planet? Well, that's the mind of man trying to figure out what we could do. But see, it's only what God does is what counts, Mm-hmm. So here we have, we know there's 153, and God's the one who said that. Jesus, the people didn't count those fish.
Nope. God just had it put in his book.
It's just in the book. It's
that's
in
right.
the book. It says
given by the Holy Ghost.
Says, that's right. And the Holy Ghost gives us many things. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. So that's he's calling us to come and dine. And so when there's a... Jesus didn't want to dine by himself, did he?
Nope.
No, and he had already prepared the food. He had already prepared the bread. It's just like he's already prepared everything in heaven. He's gone to the Father to prepare a place for us. And he's going to set up a table, and he's going to say, come and dine. And so to me, I think this is like he said, okay, I brought in this amount. I brought in this amount, but you're going to bring in multiplications of the amount that I brought in.
Yep.
So that number 153, you've been looking at it, and it means a lot. And I guess you're going to share a little bit about that. You want me to go ahead and read a little bit more?
I want you to read through verse 14.
Okay, I'll do that. Verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time.
There's a number you want to remember. It says the third. We're talking about triangles. Okay.
Three. So it was the third time when Jesus this happened. I call this an activation.
Yeah.
We do a lot of activations in our church. You say, what is an activation? Well, you activate people to prophesy. You activate people to go out and be a witness for the Lord. There's a lot of things you activate people in. So Jesus was demonstrating. This was a demonstration of an activation that he was saying was going to come to pass for the future. You know, he only brought in so many. Here we got 12 disciples, and they're not even all here, right here. But the multiplication of this number is what's going to bring in the more and more people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's saying he's not doing it all. You're going to be doing it. You know,
sure.
You're going to be doing it. I'm activating you to do this. So he's feeding them and basically having communion, and they're having the fish. So he gave them bread and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So they knew that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, isn't it interesting that King James mm-hmm. used the words dined? I like that.
Sure.
Jesus saith to Simon, and the Simon, Peter, and Simon is the word means here,
mm-hmm.
and son of Jonas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that means hear the dove. So that's what he was saying. Hear the dove. Hear the Holy Spirit. The dove represents the Holy Spirit, right? He says, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?
So what's the these here? The fishing.
These fish.
Do
you love me more than? See, you've gone out back to your fishing, and
yep.
Do you love these fish more than you love me? He's asking him. Boy, that would kind of hit the heart, wouldn't it? That would be like a strike with an arrow to your heart. He's asking, do you love these fish? Do you love all this fishing more than you love me? Okay, more than these. He saith to him, yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Jesus said, feed my lambs.
Babies.
So he's saying, you need to love these lambs, these fish. You know, you love me, but
yeah.
you do love me, but if you love me, you'll do my will.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go out and you will feed my lambs. In verse 16. And he saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas. He's saying, hear, you know, do you hear me? Lovest thou me? Why is he asking him a second time? So it's just a question mark there. Do you love me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And doesn't God know? God knows those
sure
who
does.
Love him. He
yeah.
does. Jesus knows.
Mm-hmm.
He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Well, what's the difference between lambs and sheep?
One's full grown and the other one's not.
So sheep still need to be fed.
That's right.
Amen.
After they're grown.
And, you
like
know,
us.
People that are in church still need to go to church and need to be fed the Word of God, learn the Word of God.
Because right.
God has always shown us new things.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17, Jesus saith again unto him the third time. Now here we got number three again.
Mm-hmm.
Three times. Okay?
Three times. Here's
three
our
times.
Three. Here's our Trinity.
He's saying, Simon,
triangle.
Simon, son of Jonas. He reminds him who he is. You're the son of the dove, the Holy Spirit. He says, because, you know, Simon, he saw a lot of things that some of the others didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And then God used him also greatly to bring forth the Word of God. We're not going to talk about that now, but he was bold, wasn't he?
Sure was.
He was bold, and God knew that he was bold. Jesus knew that he was bold. I mean, you know, he was sometimes the first to do this. I mean, he first wanted to jump out of the boat
yep.
and to swim to Jesus. You know, he didn't wait for the boat to go to shore.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped out of that boat. Okay, and then he says to him, feed my sheep. Now we're doing it the third time. Third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him three times, lovest thou me? That grieved Peter. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep.
So he told him twice to feed his sheep, didn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm-hmm. Twice. And verse 18, I'll finish there. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not.
So he was just telling Peter what his death was going to be like. It's incredible.
It's a prophetic word. He gave him a prophetic word.
But at the back of the beginning of chapter 1, verse 21 here, it tells us there were seven disciples. Here's our seven again, God's complete number.
Seven.
The seven again, bringing this all to pass. And they were confused. They were going to go back to their old trade until they saw Jesus on the shore. But the interesting thing I want to talk about a little bit, we can't get this done today completely, but I've mentioned several times, I've mentioned to the people in our church I was going to teach on this one day.
153
about
fish.
About the 153 fish. This is interesting.
Great fish.
It's so specific. And why wasn't it 150? Why wasn't it 120? Why wasn't it whatever? Well, Holy Ghost said 153 fish. When we look at this, it's very important what God's trying to reveal to us about the 153 fish.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I did a little reading and found out some things. There was a man that most of the church knows about. His name was, they call him St. Augustine, and he did a lot of study. Well, when he got to this verse, well, he was a little concerned about what it is also, what that 153 meant. And this is what his thought was. It's pretty good. It kind of brings us up to what I want to talk about a little bit. So what he did was he was trying to put the first covenant and the new covenant together. And so what he did, he took the Ten Commandments in the first one, because that was the central truth of all, was the Ten Commandments. And then he wanted to hook it up with the New Testament, so he knew that the Spirit of God was so important. So he took the seven spirits mentioned in Revelation, the completeness of God, and he added those two numbers together. 10 plus 7 was 17. And then he did this. Think about it. He took each one of those numbers, 1 plus 1, or 1 plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, took all those numbers and added all of them up, those 17 numbers, and it comes out to what? 153. And so there's something God's trying to show us here. Well, that was his thought on it. But I believe there's some other things that God wants us to know, because, you know, God, as Donna mentioned, he's a mathematician. He knows what he's doing. And so everything revolves around these threes, you know, the Godhead. Well, I like to call it maybe the Trinity effect, what we're going to look at, because it revolves around all these triangles and stuff that we can see in the Word of God and the layers that God has. Now, the first one that really caught my eye with all this was this 153, all right? And then if you don't know what the word gematria is, that's, let me tell you what that is. Some people know it, some people don't. The Greek and the Hebrew alphabet have a number assigned to each letter in that alphabet. And so they take those numbers and they can add those up, and they come to different truths and understanding from the Word of God. Well, the first thing that I saw with this was this. The 153, and then Jesus' name in gematria was 888 in the Greek. Well, if you subtract 153 from 888, you come up with 735. That's an interesting number. Now, what I'm going to show you here, it's hard to explain it without drawing it before you, but I'm going to show you how we get what we do with 153. And as we look at these other numbers, we're going to find it's going to take several layers to bring it down. As it comes down, as we do this with raising numbers, we're going to cube the numbers, because we're talking about threes here. It's going to always come back to the number 153, and I call it the resurrection code. This is what Jesus was revealing to these guys right here, his disciples at that time. So think about the real simple one. 153 is what we're going to do. So what do? We take the 1 and we cube it. So what do you get? You get 1, don't you? And then you take the next number, which is 5, we cube that, and it's 125. And then we take the next letter, which is 3, and you cube that, which is 27. And then you add all those up, like Augustine did years ago, okay, with his numbers. So we have 1 plus 125 plus 27 comes to what? 153. So it just revolves around what God's Trinity is all about, the knowing of what the Trinity is. And so I like to call all this the resurrection code, because you can take any number, less than 2,000, and you can do this with it as long as it's divisible by 3, and you can take these numbers, they'll come down, there's different layers, but it always comes back to the same number, 153, showing the resurrection code. Amen? So that one there is really interesting, because you only have one layer on this one to get this. Now, the one that really caught my eye was this. We know that we talked about a triangle. Well, a triangle has three angles in it. An equilateral triangle has three angles, doesn't it? Well, each one of those angles is 120 degrees. So you add those up, what do you get? 360 degrees is the total of that. So I took the 360. I thought this is interesting. I took the number 360, and I want to do the same thing with the triangle thought, going and taking it to the third power. In other words, you're going to cube each one of the numbers. So this is what I did with this.
Isn't it interesting? Before you say that, the the 360 mm-hmm. is actually the number of days in the Hebrew calendar
in the inner year
in the Bible.
That's right.
And when we go to the Book of Revelation and what Daniel said,
same thing.
It's always he works the days and the end times always on a 360 day calendar.
That's right. Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it. Yeah. So we have this number. It's got 360 in it. So what do we do with this? Well, we're going to find out. I'm not going to take you through all of it. We're going to find out. We're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're going to have 7 levels. We'll bring us to 153, which is God's complete
number of completion.
Showing the resurrection again.
Perfection.
So what we did, I took 360 and we did this. We took the 3 and we cubed it. And then we took the 6 and we cubed it. We took the 0 and we cubed it. So what do we have? We have 3 cubed is 27, 6 cubed is 216, and of course 0 cubed is 0. And it came up with a number of 243. All right. So now we're on the second level. So we do the same thing with 243. We cubed 2, which gives us 8. We cubed the 4, and it gives us 64. We cubed 3, and we have 27. We add those numbers up, 8 plus 64 plus 27. We come to a number, 99. We do the same thing. We take 9 cubed plus 9 cubed. And we have two numbers of 729 and 729. We add those up and we come to 1,458. Now this is the fourth level. So we do the same thing. We cube 1, we cube 4, we cube the 5, and we cube the 8. And then we come up with the numbers. We have 1 plus 64 plus 125 plus 512. You add those numbers all up and it comes to 702. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Now we're on the fifth level. We're almost there. So what do we do with 702? Same thing. We mm-hmm. take 7 and we cube it. Gives us what? 343. We take 0 cubed, 0. We take 2 cubed, and it's 8. So we add that up, 343 plus 0 plus 8. And what do we come up with? We come up with 351. Now we're on the last one now. All right? We're taking this down in levels. So we have to cube...
7 levels.
7 levels. So we have to cube 3, we have to cube 5, and we have to cube 1. So... 3 cubed gives us what? 27. 5 cubed gives us what? 125. And 1 cubed gives us 1. So we add up 27, 125, and 1, and the number is 153. So it took 7 levels to show this, the resurrection code with all this. And this is interesting. So this is the 7th level, which is God's number of perfection. So you can do this with any number, as long as it's divisible by 3, and it's under 2,000. Well, somebody might ask why it has to be under 2,000. Well, some people may not believe this, but I believe the 2,000 is so key because it tells us over in Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, about after 2 days, okay? And so from the time that Yeshua went back to be with his Father, it's going to be, 2,000 years until we come to the end of the dispensation that we're in, that we know now in this age. And so that's why it has to be below that. And you can take any of these numbers. If they're divisible by 3, it'll work. And so I did a bunch of other numbers also.
It won't work past 2,000
nope.
because the Bible says after 2 days.
That's right.
And so, he's saying, the number is going to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. It's going to be completed.
That's right.
After
2 days.
After these 2 days.
And we're going to go into the third day. Now, another number I picked out of the Bible was the tribulation period is what? 1,260 days plus 1,260 days. So I took 1,260. It's divisible by 3. And I did that one. And it came out at the end. I think it has about 8 or 9 steps. And it comes out to 153, the resurrection code again.
Resurrection code.
The other one I took was 1335 over in Daniel chapter 12. And I also took the 1290 days. They're all divisible by 3. When you go through the layers, it always comes back to 153, showing mm-hmm. us the resurrection code. And I believe with all my heart, this is why the Lord had this put in the Bible in John chapter 21, verse 11, about the 153 fish. It's a resurrection code. It's what it's all about.
So he's saying here, come and dine with me.
That's right.
You have the 153 has come in.
That's right.
The multiplication of the 153, the resurrection code has come in. Now, Jesus, we're all going to go with him, these disciples, and these fish that represent the fullness of those who are going to be saved during these
That's right. Of
these
the Godhead years, and all, that's right.
During these uh-huh. 2,000 years
yeah.
until the resurrection time. Now he's saying, you're bringing them and you're going to come and we're all, you know, we're going to be caught up in the air, right? Come and dine with me.
That's
because
right.
He has everything prepared. He has a table prepared.
He has it planned.
So he had everything. Not only did he have everything prepared, it was already on the table. It was ready to eat. All they had to do was come. But they had to bring the 153 with them,
right?
Which that is the resurrection code.
That's right.
Of all those who are going to be resurrected in that last day when he calls up those that have died. They're in the grave. They're going to come up out of the graves first.
That's right.
And then those who are alive are going to be caught up with him together in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, here he's going to have this place this already dying. See, that word dying is like, it's not like you're just going to have a snack or you're just going to sit
dying
at a picnic table.
Yeah.
No, to me that reminds me of going. You're going to go to the best of the best restaurants,
that's right?
And with heaven's got the best restaurant. You won't find anyone any better than what God has prepared for us when we go and we dine with Him. Can you imagine what that table's going to look like? Can you imagine what even the chairs are going to look like if we're going to be sitting in chairs? You know,
that's right.
Can you imagine what the silverware is going to look like? You know, I mean, if you take it and you bring it back to what we think is dining in the finest of restaurants. Jesus has all these things prepared. He says, come and dine. Come and dine with me, he's saying.
Amen.
Come and dine with me. Bring that resurrection code, that fish, that multiplication of fish is going to multiply. See, he multiplied those fish in that net instantly.
That's right.
They came, they were in the net, and they pulled the net up. And he said, come and dine with me. Praise
That's
the
good.
Lord Jesus. Awesome.
So now I took you, the very first thing I did here with this was the number 153. This is the only number, listen to me, this is the only number in the Bible that only has one layer on it to bring you to 153. We took the number 153. I want to share this with you. And we took the number 153 and we're talking about the Trinity code. Everything is by threes, okay? So we took, as we showed you and mentioned, we took the one and what? We cubed it. You still get the number one. We took the five and we cubed it. It's what? 125. And then we cubed three and you get 27. So you add 1 plus 25 plus 27. It takes you right back to 153. It's the only number in the Bible that only has one layer on it. It shows you God's mathematics. I'm saying he's incredible.
Awesome.
And it's just amazing when you see it. And the more I'm looking at it, the more excited I get about the things that he's shown us in the Bible. And I've done this for years. I told people when we taught on the pictures of the Messiah and all that whenever I see the third day or three, I always underlined it and marked it in my Bible so I might understand it. And there's so much to be seen and so many things happened. He rose from the grave on the third day, didn't he?
And isn't this the third time he fed people fish?
The third time that he appeared to them.
The first two times, it was before he had resurrected.
Right.
This was the resurrection fish dinner. A fish breakfast, and so there was three times, and so he's there's something about those
the threes
fish
are important,
and those you know those three times,
mm-hmm.
and you know he always fed them fish and bread. It was always bread and fish.
That's right.
And so it was always the same. So even what he did in before he died, it was bread and fish.
That's
you
right.
Know? And so he didn't change. He says, I haven't changed. It's still bread and fish.
That's right.
You know, you're still to take of me, I'm the bread of life, and you're to go out and bring in
the fish.
The fish.
So verse 14 says what? This is now the third time that he appeared to
them
after his resurrection. It's important.
Awesome.
I want to go over to Matthew 13 with you now for a moment.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
So it just points back to what we read in Genesis. You know, we need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Can't have one without the other.
And the King James Bible is the only one that uses the word Godhead because you have to have the equal parts of the Father, Son,
equilateral triangle,
and the Father, Son, and the
right.
Holy Spirit to bring in the Godhead. You can't have the Godhead with two or with one. You know, you can't say you're a Jewish and you only believe in God. Well, you don't have the Godhead then, do you?
Nope.
No, you have to have the complete, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost to have the Godhead and also to be able to be obedient and to be able to live in the Spirit, because without the Holy Ghost, you know, it's not Jesus only.
That's
some
right.
people say, well, it's just Jesus only. Other people say it's just God only. Other people say they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but the Bible says to be born again, we must have what? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That's right. So I think about all this, you know, we see this is way before Sir Isaac Newton came along, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about the things in the Old Testament and all that. And he was the one that came up with the principles and the theory for higher math and all that, and when he lived on this earth and all that. And so it's so key in the whole Bible. But I want to go over to Matthew 13. Now, this is going to kind of give us a clue what Pastor Donald was talking about a moment ago. Let's go to verse 47. We're going to talk about the last parable that Jesus taught over there in Matthew 13. Jesus says this, Yeshua, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto what?
A net
that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Interesting, huh?
Same thing what we just read.
Yeah, the net.
He was telling them beforehand.
Yeah, so the net to me is a picture of the gospel. It's 153 is right in the middle of this net, I think. Okay. Mm. All right. Into the net. And it was cast into what? Into the sea. Into the sea of nations.
Sea of the world.
That's what it's a picture of. Nations. And gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. Now, it doesn't tell you how many here, does it? But John chapter 21 does. So they kept the good ones, and all the bad ones that didn't have scales and fins, they threw back into the sea or to the lake. Now, verse 49. So shall it be what? At the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be what? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then he said, Jesus said to them in verse 51, have you understood all these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. I don't know if they really did or not.
I don't think so.
But
probably
it's incredible.
Not.
And then we went up, we read verse 52. We'll read it again last week. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, and a scribe was a scholar with the Old Testament scriptures, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures what? Things new and old. So the new and the old have to be joined together. So this is incredible. This was kind of a foreshadow of what we see over in John chapter 21 when Jesus had him bring all those fish in, and there was 153 in the net. I could probably talk a lot more about it. Maybe I'll share some things next week a little bit about it. But the thing that really caught my eye was the number 153. You got to use trigonometry in this. It's triangles. God's a trinity. You have to use the threes have to be in there. And so this is interesting. The only number that only goes down to one level is the number 153. We cubed 1, we cubed 5, and we cubed 3, and we came up with 1 plus 125 plus 127. You add them up, you come back to 153 and one, with one level showing the resurrection code. That's what the Lord was trying to show the men over there as well. They knew he had rose from the grave and all that, but he wanted to impress to them that the fish was going to be a picture and a pattern of all the people who are going to come into the kingdom of God over the years. And when we put God in the middle of all of it, look what's going to happen. It's incredible. When I just think about how it all fits together with what he was trying to show them. You know, the fish represented fish, but the fish today, what? Is people. Remember Jesus told Peter, what did he say? He says, starting today, I'm going to make you not a fisher of fish, but a fisher of men. So they began to fish for men. So this was a pattern of it. And of course, God has to be the center of it. As I think about that 153, it's like a big net. They had all the knots in it. The number right in the middle was 153, and all the numbers around it comes right back to 153, which is about the resurrection. It's all about him.
Even if you look at the number 1, 5, and 3,
right.
With the Hebrew understanding of what those numbers mean, which we don't have time to talk about that now, there's a lot of power right in that. One is the Father.
That's right.
You know, and so
5 is grace.
5 is grace. It's the hay.
Yeah.
It's the grace, and then 3 we're back to the Godhead again.
That's right.
You know, you can't have one without the other.
That's right. And you have these numbers up, just the numbers 1, 5, and 3. What we have 8 and 9. Okay, there's 9. Comes up to number 9. Well, I don't know what 9 means.
There's the 9 fruit of the Spirit, and there's also
right.
the nine gifts of the Spirit.
The gift of the Spirit. You need all of that as well.
Right. You know, so, yeah, God's a great mathematician. You know, we just know a fraction. We just know a little bit. But, you know, as we dig deeper, I believe that God shows us. And sometimes when you just get your pen and pencil out and you start working with numbers, you know, all of a sudden something happens and you just explode. It's like an explosion of understanding. Getting some wisdom from God, you know.
How this got me stirred up, I had a publication that came, and this man that wrote a little article about some of this, he has a master's degree in mathematics, and he was an atheist for years. And when he got looking at these things, this is what drew him to God. He knew that God was so accurate, he didn't miss by one day. Mm-hmm. Whatever he said was true, if it was one day, 2 days. Mm-hmm. And so I got looking at it, and so I loved math when I took engineering, and so I got looking at something. I started thinking about triangles. There was so much used with triangles in electronics and all that. Like, I'm thinking about all this, and it just kind of all fits together. God's wanting to show us something in the Word of God to prove, and I believe this right here proves that He truly is the one and only God in the whole universe. It is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Father,
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh,
Yeshua the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. We're so honored to be able to do this. And so God's uncovering some things in the last days. A lot of people never even realize it's in the Bible. And you know, I always think about when they came out of captivity. He told you how many people came out of each tribe, how many animals they had. I mean, he's an incredible bookkeeper. He's a man of numbers. He's a mathematician. So this proved to this mathematician that this is true. And so that's how he received Jesus Christ in his life. Isn't that incredible? Mm-hmm. Just by the numbers that we see in the Bible. And so we can think about a lot of things. If we just ask the Lord, He'll show you a lot of wonderful things.
Awesome.
All of it.
Thank you, Lord.
I even think about Albert Einstein. He was the mathematician. You know, he was a mathematician, a scientist, a physicist. He came up with the formula E equals MC squared, which is the formula that's established the basics for what? The atomic bomb. Well, E is the energy, okay? And then M is mass. We talked to you about in the beginning. You know, there's a mass, there's material. And then C is a number, it's a standard for the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it's squared. This is how he came up with the energy that they developed to develop an atomic bomb. And that's what happens. It breaks down like these layers we're talking about. And if what happens at the end, when everything's put in place, when that bomb blows up, it is up. You talk about energy. Look what it did in Japan when it blew up those two cities and all that. It's incredible.
And you have to have the right ingredients. And,
that's right.
You know,
absolutely.
And look at God. You know, you have to have the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
You know, without the Holy Ghost, people just don't have it.
That's the power that ignites.
That's the power that ignites. And it's interesting, too, that here in Matthew chapter 13, this is the last parable in this area where, you know, he had talked about other parables. This was the last one.
Yeah.
Talking about the fish.
The fish.
Praise God. Well, we're just blessed to be on this radio
program.
Our
time goes by fast.
Every Saturday at 12 noon. We're also on the internet or on WCNO.com every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can go listen to this again if you want to hear those numbers or write those numbers down that Pastor Gene spoke about. Just go there and just go to the podcast on Saturday and look for Pastor Gene Hilton, and you can listen to this broadcast again and many others as well. We do have services here in Stuart, Florida, sunny Stuart, Florida, praise to God today. And so come and be blessed and come worship with us sometime. I know many of you listen to us. And south and east and west and even in the Bahamas. And we forgot to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
Oh, Roscoe and Audrey, we love you.
Over there with the Temple of God and Judy and Daryl and many others. That
say hello to Harley.
Harley. Hi, Harley. How are you doing? Ruff, ruff. That's the friendly dog that listens to us every week. And praise God. So we have services here, like I said, in Stuart, Florida. Friday night services at 7 p.m. We have Shabbat service Saturday. We're going to have the following week, we're going to be having a class on witnessing. So we need to get out and witness. And also, we have service every Sunday at 10 a.m. So give us a call. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. 7007.
If you'd like a copy of what we taught on today, all we ask for is a love offering. You make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mention the date, whether you want a tape or CD.
Amen.
We'd be glad to get it out. So as we close every week, I'm excited. The Lord's telling us to look up because our redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor
Don? We say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.